This is Making Money Easy with Gillian Bowen, the top economists and experts on the topics you want and you need to understand. Here's your host, Gillian Bowen.
Hello and welcome. I'm Gillian Bowen. Have you ever had an idea for a business but weren't sure what comes next? What about coming up with a concept inspired by COVID but you couldn't get it off the ground? I thought it would be great to speak to two people who've had an idea and turned it into something that's extremely successful. Bubble Tea Club owners Pam Yip and Jenny Lee. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
In case people haven't heard of the Bubble Tea Club or even Bubble Tea, Jenny, what is it?
So bubble tea is a drink that is originated in Taiwan, and you can have it as a milk tea or a fruit tea, and it's typically drunk with something called boba or tapioca pearls. So they're like these starchy little balls that are chewy, and it gives a new dimension of taste.
And Pam, why do people love bubble tea so much?
Yeah, I think it's actually, a lot of people think it's an unfamiliar flavor, but at the base of it is actually, for example, a milk tea or a fruit tea. So if you think about it, you've actually consumed either one before. The element that makes it really special is definitely the bubbles part. So what Jenny just mentioned before, the tapioca pearls. But aside from that, there's also something called like popping pearls. There's jellies as well. So it just adds a whole new dimension to a drink that you already love.
Right. And so, Jenny, then what is the Bubble Tea Club?
It's a DIY bubble tea kit that you can buy online, and we send it directly to people's homes, and you can make it at home. It's super affordable and it tastes delicious, just like the shops.
Okay. So now that we have an understanding of what bubble tea is and what the Bubble Tea Club is, Pam, take me back to the beginning when you came up with this idea, but maybe even a step back before that. What happened to you two when the pandemic came to Australia?
Yeah, so it was pretty much like the peak of COVID in like April 2020 last year. For myself, I was in digital marketing, had my own agency, worked within the hospitality industry. So as you can imagine, overnight, all my clients pretty much vanished in hospitality for themselves. Didn't even know if they could open, if they can do takeaway. It was a really uncertain time. So I pretty much lost all our clients overnight. And Jenny is actually an optometrist. And even for her, she was stood down and really uncertain about that time and when she'd go back to work. The optoms are closed. She didn't know if she's going to go back part-time. So as a result of that, there's actually a massive sense of urgency between both of us to not only, well, we need an income and we also need a bubble tea. So as a result, we actually were starting new businesses almost every week for like a month. And Bubble Tea Club was just one that actually really stuck, and we've never really stopped since then.
So Jenny, talk me through then, where were you and what were you doing when you and Pam came up with this idea of starting something that was going to turn into the Bubble Tea Club?
Well, because it was during the pandemic, Pam and I were stuck at home on our laptops. So, we were literally just isolated, and we did everything online from the time that we had the from inception, and Pam had the idea of imagine if you could actually have bubble tea at home, and it doesn't cost $6 to $8 to create it for just one, and it tastes just as good as the shops. We built it in 4 days. We created the website and launched it, and it's never really stopped since then.
So Pam, how did you get something, say, for example, as simple as the ingredients or the cups or the straws? Like, if you've built this in 4 days, where did you get all the bits and pieces that would help bring the product together?
Yeah, I think the great thing looking back is that we really didn't overthink it, because at that time we were actually trying to make a bubble tea at home. We knew for a starter that the ingredients themselves, because it was originated from Taiwan, and I had tea leaves that I actually brought back from Taiwan the year prior that I traveled to. That was all I had. And it was actually really hard to find any of like the taro flavored powders. It was hard to find tapioca pearls, especially where I lived. So in business, there's just like a term called minimal viable products. We actually just launched with no packaging. We didn't have the straws yet. we actually didn't have a lot of the packaging, nothing ready to launch. Jenny actually just rocked up to my house when she was doing deliveries and dropped off the core ingredients to making a bubble tea. I just filmed it from my living room. It was actually really easy to put the drink together to a point where both Jen and I were surprised ourselves that it tastes really good. We just literally filmed me putting together the recipe and shared it online. And then from there, when customers actually started commenting, asking about paper straws, asking about plastic straws, that's when we actually started building up our products because we knew there was a demand then.
So you filmed yourselves making a bubble tea, you put it on Instagram. Jenny, how then do you get a customer and then take an order and then deliver them something?
Yeah, they just need to hop on our website. It's pretty simple because we're an e-commerce business like any other e-com. It's all online. And I think social proof was really important for this because that brought the traffic and the customers to our website. And once they add it to their cart, they can check out. And what we do is we pack the ingredients ourselves and we have a couriers and they deliver it.
So Pam, you went through this phase then of going, okay, well, we need this, this, and this. And how did you choose where you got the products from and how they were delivered to you?
Yeah, I think like I mentioned before, the year prior, like I was in Taiwan and every single shop that you went to for bubble tea was insane. Like it tastes really amazing. So at the core of that and growing up with bubble tea, we knew that the ingredients itself, we really wanted to be high quality and to show that you didn't have to compromise on how it tastes just because you're paying for a cheaper price. Like Jenny mentioned, usually you had to buy it for like $7 to $9 a drink, but we were selling it like starting from $2 a drink. Instead, in terms of like how we decided to sell the product, package it, or like develop it, we've been fortunate in the sense that because we're grown on social media, people are commenting and actually giving us advice and suggestions. Mm. And we kept building up the product from what our customers suggested.
How interesting. So Jenny, do you remember who was your first customer or was it Pam?
we probably tested it ourselves through our Shopify just to make sure that everything was working. But we actually have like a couple of customers who are returning very often. Like they would spend thousands and thousands of dollars on bubble tea, which is insane.
Wow, that's incredible. So then, Pam, when did you realize that you were on to a good thing? What was the signal?
I think when we just never stops. Like honestly, in the beginning of the, like when we first launched, we went viral and that's like really awesome where we got a lot of traction. Like we were posting on Facebook groups. Because I was in the Melbourne food scene for in digital marketing. It was lucky in that sense that we actually had a lot of people helping us share and getting the word out as well. So we had traction from initially and then even like 2 to 3 months, even 6 months into it, people were even asking us like, oh, is this just like a lockdown product? Do you think it's sustainable? Even past lockdown. And the craziest thing is like, we actually exit lockdown end of last year, the same time as well actually. And November was our biggest month that we had. And that was outside of lockdown. And I think that really like locked into our mind and showed that we're actually solving a problem that wasn't just happening in lockdown. It's just the idea that imagine if you were to pay $67 for a coffee and a tea and then you couldn't make it as yourself at home. Like bubble tea is a phenomenon. So the idea that you couldn't make it yourself is crazy. And I think that's what actually went viral and what really got people on board.
It's finding a gap of what people needed. It's so smart and what a good idea. Look, Jenny, where have all the customers come from? Are they just in Melbourne or is there a feel for this far and wide?
They come from all over Australia, but not just limited to that. We've actually had people from Canada and the US and Malaysia and just all over the world who have messaged us on our Instagram being like, do you ship over here? We would love to try it. And the crazy thing is that it costs like $40 for shipping over to the US, but they're still willing to try it because for the first time, they're actually having that social proof and people saying that our bubble tea is so delicious.
Well, that's very helpful too, isn't it? The customer feedback is crucial to it then bubbling away on its own. Pam, did you have to get an investor or speak to the bank about getting a small business loan or any sort of aspect from that part where people listening along might be thinking, well, do I need to get finance for my idea?
Yeah. So now when we first started, like I mentioned before, it was a very minimal concept that we could test. So how much effort, like the most minimal effort you could put into launching your product just to test whether the idea works or not. And I think actually applies to a lot of e-com businesses. So in our case, like I mentioned to you before, when I was shooting in my living room, all I had was just the ingredients and to show people how it was put together and simply put onto an online platform that was free and unpaid for. Just to test the concepts. And if you don't have a following yet, you can actually just go to Facebook groups and post it there. So we were really lucky in the sense that because we did it this way and we only developed our products when we saw traction with it, we just constantly reinvested back into the business. What we did make, we didn't actually have to raise or go through venture capitals or look for funding. Because that's also risky and very scary too, especially like during a time of COVID. The only reason we actually started looking into venture capitals are raising funds earlier this year was largely to do with like people internationally in the US were actually messaging us and asking us, hey, can you guys send to us? And we actually messaged them back and be like, oh, I would have thought that you guys had a lot of like bubble tea stores over there. Like, why are you choosing to go through us? And they're telling us it's like, oh, you guys have like the most social proof. It looks like the most like credible, but also like they're saying not a lot of people did the kits the way that we did in Australia.
Yes.
And then through there, we're like, okay, we saw traction. We actually did like soft launch marketing into the States as well and tested the demand first before we then also decided that, yep, this is a case for raising funds, which we ended up doing through crowdfunding earlier this year.
Was there anyone in your circle of friends or, you know, that you were hanging out with day to day that thought or said to you, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, definitely. So when we had that concept of having launched the bubble tea club line after 4 days, we were like, oh my God, people are actually buying this. Like, what are we, but then it hit us. We're like, oh my God, we don't have packaging. where do we even ship out our product to? So my partner actually has a couple of stores that are restaurants, and we had to go to the city and then started shipping things out from his restaurants. And I remember so vividly, many people walking past the shop, looking inside, being like, this is not a restaurant. Like, there's a full operation inside here. Like, what's going on? Because like Pam is like a social media god, we ended up getting so many people and so many friends messaging us like, oh, you know, what's this bubble tea business? So we had lots of help and from our friends, but also a lot of people asking us and saying that it was such an interesting concept and they wish they had started it themselves.
We all need a Pam in our lives, it seems. Look, let's take a quick break. This is exciting. I'm really enjoying reliving this journey with you and getting an understanding of how an idea can turn into something. When we come back, we're going to explore that key tool that really helped motor your business along. Back in a tick.
You've been listening to Making Money Easy with Gillian Bowen.
I'm joined by Assistant Commissioner Tim Lowe from the Australian Taxation Office.
The top economists and experts.
Felicity Emmett, ANZ Senior Economist. Linda Allen, a Senior Economist from the Commonwealth Bank.
On the topics you want.
What have you found out about
performance of super funds?
What are your tips to
avoiding a tax scam?
And you need to understand.
I do like your research. This is wonderful. I'm loving it that you've come prepped for the podcast.
My kids love it too.
Making Money Easy.
Well, that's a good question. It is unusual.
With Gillian Bowen is the podcast literally making money easy.
No, I'm kidding. Who knew talking tax could be so jovial? This is wonderful.
Follow today and watch your brain expand.
Thanks, Gil. Thanks for having us on the podcast.
Thank you, Gil.
Thanks for having me.
This is Making Money Easy, powered by Bowen's Garage.
I'm chatting with Jenny Lee and Pam Yip, the owners of the Bubble Tea Club. Pam, how big a role, and we did touch on this in the first half, has social media, in particular Instagram, played in the business?
Yeah, I'll definitely say it actually drew the most traction for us. during the time that we launched, it was when the restrictions just started to be put in place and there's no foot traffic. Social media was actually the only platform that was borderless. There's no restrictions on 5 kilometers. There's no 25 kilometer restrictions on social media.
Yeah.
Our content, when we posted it online, we were reaching people not only in Australia, but also all across the world as well, which is insane. And it's great because we also got access to people, even if they weren't following us, like I mentioned before, but just going into like Facebook groups. So there's groups called like Subtle Asian Traits, which is funny because when we first launched,
what was it called? Sorry, you just said it really quickly. What's it called?
Yeah. Subtle Asian Traits.
Subtle Asian Traits. Yeah.
Yeah.
Goodness. Hey, go on.
It's insane. It's massive. But it's really funny. But to summarize, that group is basically a lot of people the same age as Jenny and I. We're Asians born in like a Western country. And we, what you'll find in summary is that usually when you bring Asian food or Asian drinks over to like Western countries, there's always a perception of being compromised. And we wanted to break that barrier. So for us, we're like, okay, bubble tea actually tastes really amazing in Taiwan, where it originates from, of course. And there's actually so much development to that flavor compared to Western countries. So aside from that concept of being able to make it yourself at home, we felt like in general, the taste of bubble tea could be levitated, like insane. We feel like there's just so much room for improvement as well. So we posted onto Subtle Asian Traits, where they had like millions of people within that Facebook group. And that was free access to us. Like, I'm sure that if you're to start something in the pet industry, in the car industry, you could easily access like Facebook groups of people that are passionate about this in that niche. And you could start like posting your idea to gauge if there's a sense of traction. Like I mentioned, our whole business is also built off of feedback from our community. So we have a Facebook group as well. This is called Bubble Tea Club. And there's like over 5,000 people inside there who are our customers and just share themselves, like what they've made. And they all connected with each other too. So again, everyone was in lockdown. But for the first time, you can jump into a Facebook group. You share the passion of making bubble tea for the first time yourself. It was actually really uplifting. Like some people were even getting to a point that they're sharing that they lost their job. And that it was really nice that they could make a treat for themselves, like a bubble tea. And it helped put the smile like on their own face. Someone announced they also didn't have like lost their job because of COVID. And we ended up being like, oh, this person's actually supported us since the beginning. We made them a moderator. So we actually ended up giving them credit every single month to spend with us in exchange for their time, how much they spent on our Facebook community answering questions for us.
Wow.
And people inside the community were actually sending, like reaching out to her and saying like, hey, I'm so sorry that you lost your job. I'd love to send you some of my bubble tea. So I think what we built through social media is like insane.
So it's a full experience, really, just from your one product. That sounds incredible. And and Jenny, as well, it sounds then that you spend a lot of time really understanding your customer.
Yeah, definitely. So community is one of the biggest aspects that we try to focus on. We talk about, you know, our customer service is really important to us. And our vision is actually to put a smile on people's faces while revolutionizing the way that people consume bubble tea. And I think like the active Facebook community is something that we're super proud of, because like what Pam mentioned, like people are actually hopping on to make themselves feel better and talk to and actually connecting with other people who love bubble tea or they love sharing the concoction of whatever they're making.
Mm. Pam, then talk me through some of the stats then of the business so that those listening along can gauge then how it's transformed from the two of you having an idea while you're stuck in lockdown and chatting over your laptops to now where we are today.
Yeah, so our first post was on Instagram and Facebook. So both on Instagram and Facebook, we have over 30,000 followers who are extremely active, which is amazing. We literally use our platforms as if we were speaking to our friends. So one of the most important things to us, and we actually have our team's actually dedicated to replying to people in the comment section, but also, for example, since we started, people that are tagging us in our Instagram stories, we've reposted every single one since the beginning. So we've actually been reposting one almost every single day, and we actually save them on the highlights. So you can see people interacting there. We also have a Facebook group too, which is really big and a lot more prominent nowadays. In the last couple of years, like, Facebook really has been pushing their groups and communities. Over there, we just hit over 5,000 people as well, which is crazy because these are people that have actually tried our bubble tea before, because we invite them once they've purchased from us. We also just started getting onto TikTok as well. And over on TikTok, we just did our first video that had over like 100-something thousand views as well. Wow. So, yeah.
And what about, you know, product that you've moved and sold? Are you at some sort of milestone there on how many bubble tea kits you've or servings that you've sent out to people?
Yeah, we've done over like we have over like 40,000 customers who've been through us before, and it was crazy because we were counting like the tapioca servings, so the boba servings, and we did over like 1 million serves because you had to count.
Wow.
The kits. Yeah, that's crazy.
Hopefully you didn't have to manually count those, but perhaps. No. Jenny, when did you realize that you needed a warehouse, and how did you go about finding it and getting it and setting up in there?
Yeah, so for the first month or so, we had already outgrown the restaurant. We needed a different space because the point was when the staff had to jump over boxes. It got to that point where we're like, okay, this is not it. So
it's not fun for anybody.
Yeah, when I say the staff, it's actually like our friends trying to help us out. Because it was the only way that we could survive, because like, we were growing so quickly, and we were outstown by the amount of orders that were influxing, that we were almost overwhelmed, and like, it took up all our time. So we were there from like 9 a.m. And then we wouldn't leave until midnight. So
wow.
That's when we knew we needed staff, which means a bigger place. And so before we actually got the current warehouse that we were in, we moved into a slightly bigger place that was nearby, and that was more central for staff to potentially come in West Footscray. So after that, when we started buying more and more product, more inventory, it started to stack all the way down the hall, and we're like, okay. We were so lucky though, our landlord was super lovely. She was like, normally you would have to pay for this space, but it's okay, you know, no one's using it, you can just take it. Like, you know, thank God we met her. But to get out of you know, her hair and make sure like she's getting you know, paid for the space that's being used, we allowed someone else to occupy that space and decided to move to a bigger warehouse where, and I think our warehouse is like 550 square meters, so it was much bigger than I think it was like a 10 by 10 room.
and Pam, that makes me think as well. So, you know, I'm assuming both of you have never run a business or been in charge of staff where you might have to control things like pay or salaries. How do you work out how to do all that? Do you bring in someone to help you, or are you doing a crash course in staff management?
No, I actually did. Business for the last 2 or 3 years. So my marketing team is actually from my digital agency. So the girls that work with me now have actually been with me the last 5 years, and it's insane because during that time, like I mentioned, because we lost clients, they also lost a lot of their income as well. So it's like an insane opportunity that we could actually bring them from my agency over to Bubble Tea Club, and both of them are now like full-time as well in this business. They graduated from uni and they decided to stay with us long-term. So like, I'm really grateful to like have them with us. And like Justin. So Justin is Jenny's partner. So the one that was running the restaurants. During that time, a lot of his staff were stood down as well, because obviously he was doing takeaway. I'm pretty sure he stood down almost 80 of his employees. And some of them were also on visa, so they didn't qualify for the government grant. So some of the people that we hired for Bubble Tea Club to help packing was the people that were neglected through JobKeeper, etc. So like, and they're still with us as well. So it was insane. But in the terms of growing and stuff, we were part of like an accelerator program called ADDO, which was empowering female founders. But it's definitely asking like a lot of people and networking with a lot of people and just solving problems as they come, because we didn't know what problems we had to solve. So we didn't even know where to look for answers if we didn't realize what our problems were. Speaking to a lot of people has definitely helped us, but it's just reaching out. I think we're really lucky to have like really amazing friends who are photographers, who are like accountants. So they're just sharing their feedback and advice with us too.
So it sounds like that piece of advice is don't be afraid to ask for advice, because you're not expected to know everything. That's not possible, is it, Jenny?
Yeah, definitely not. I think like we've learned now that like me coming from especially an optometry background, this is very left field. And I feel like we're learning a whole new language. So like, you know, what is Shopify? Like, how do you use it? And what's a minimal viable product that Pam has mentioned? I think like I only learned that like a year in. I was like, oh, okay, that's what it is. But yeah, it's like a completely new world, and but I'm loving it. I feel like every single day we're learning something new or solving a new problem.
Then that leads me to, we're almost out of time. Let's then talk about what's next. And I know, Pam, you had touched on this earlier about people saying, oh, well, it's just a lockdown gimmick. But what is next for the company, and how do you plan to stick around for the long term?
Yeah, so I think at the core of it is there's actually two things. So number one, we were solving a problem for people that loved bubble tea, so have tried it before. In Western countries, the flavors compared to where it came from in Asia, we think there's a massive gap. So the ability for you to try bubble tea, that's really amazing. And we're originally from, that's one problem. The second thing is we actually were introducing it to people that never had a bubble tea before. So we ended up doing a survey with like our customer base and be like, hey, have you had a bubble tea prior to Bubble Tea Club? We actually had around almost 10% say they never had a bubble tea before. Mm. But because of social media and their friends, they're trying it for the first time. So in Australia alone, we just want to introduce people to bubble tea, whether they have or haven't tried it before, and allow them to make it themselves at home too. So in Australia itself, we think there's a massive market, but also we partnered with like Australian businesses, like Australian Bush Food, where we launched like a lemon myrtle bubble tea, and we've partnered with master chefs to develop really unique flavors that have never been seen before in Australia. So just really leveraging and working with Australian businesses. But also the other part of it is we were going international. So our team is actually preparing to launch our logistics overseas in the States. That's a lot of stuff that we're doing behind the scenes.
Well, and Jenny, it also then comes with a social networking group of friends that you can all then join in together and explore your new love for bubble tea.
Yeah, definitely. You jump onto our Facebook page and share your concoctions, especially if you're a bubble tea lover.
I love it. And I mean, and I completely agree, Pam, with what you were saying. I was telling some friends that I was interviewing you guys, and they were like, what is bubble tea? And I was like, well, you need to listen to the podcast. And speaking of that, of course, look for Bubble Tea Club on Instagram and on Facebook and see if you can join their groups. It's super easy to follow and to work out how to order. But also while you're there, make sure you're following me too, Gillian H. Bowen, and to make sure that you're also following the podcast so you can access more great stuff like this. You can find it wherever you listen to your favorite pods. That's all we have time for. Thank you, Pam Yip and Jenny Lee, for being the smartest people in my room this week.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And good work for listening to the end of the episode, because surprise, Pam and Jenny have created a discount code to buy bubble tea for Making Money Easy listeners. The discount code is Making Money Easy, no spaces between that. It's all one big word and with capital letters at the start of each word. Making Money Easy. Enjoy.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Making Money Easy with Gillian Bowen. This has been another production from the one and only Bowen's Garage, right across Australia.